The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Happy New Year, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes, live in the studio here on this Thursday, snowy Thursday it is. Of course, you'll hear the replay on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. It's going to be a fun show today. My dad is in the studio, Jerry Hayes. Of course, the last show of the year has been somewhat of a tradition for the last several years, in fact. And last year we did a show on when do you know you're ready to retire, because, of course, he just turned 75, and we talked about him still working 5 days a week. And how people ask when you get to that age, Jerry, how much longer are you going to work? So we pretty much walked through his entire working career from the Hayes Cafe days and all the way through his real estate days with Tim Ellis early on to Workiemans, and then on to Stone City Bank, and then to Monroe Bank. On and on and on, and ended up in his resting spot at Owen County State Bank. And all the things that he did along the way, and the curves and the jabs that happen in life, and here he is, now 76, joining me in the studio. So we'll get to Dad here in just a few minutes. Let's talk a little bit about what's been going on. Well, the markets on this Thursday, as I'm recording, is up. Mortgage rates are down. We'll get Dad's opinion of that in just a few minutes, because he worked in the glory days of high interest rates, and I would say people that think a 7% mortgage rate is high or even a little bit below that right now, I just saw, you're wussies, because it used to be like 12 and 13% and sometimes even more. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. All right. So last week we had investor optimism and fears of missing out on future gains kind of kick stocks higher last week before the end of the year, kind of gaining a little momentum still this week as well. The Dow, S&P, NASDAQ, all up for the week. Stocks did build on their gains. The current market narrative of declining inflation, easing interest rates, and better earnings ahead, which we think is going to come through innovation and technology, continue to fuel stock market gains, with some of the year's laggards, like small cap stocks and energy names, kind of led the way. While the market has repeatedly seen gains gather steam in the final trading hours, a late day sell-off on Wednesday of last week kind of put people's nerves on the forefront. While it's difficult to know how precisely why these sharp declines even happen, it may be a result from profit taking or low trading volumes, who really knows, which can result in unexpected volatility, so expect more of that to come, or technical reasons, as Rod points out quite often on this show and Glass in the Afternoon as well. But whatever the case, stocks did rebound nicely the following day and Friday. Are we seeing a housing revival? Well, we're going to get my dad's opinion of that. He's only been in the banking and real estate business for many, many years. I was going to say like 45 years, but that may be wrong. We'll get clarification on that in just a few minutes. But the housing market, it struggled this year. We had these high mortgage rates, rising home prices at the same time, which usually makes no sense whatsoever. Rates go up, values should stabilize or come down. People have been stubborn in lowering their prices. Last week, several housing reports suggested the housing market may be getting a little bit better. New home construction was up 14.8% in November. That's pretty strong, reaching levels we haven't seen since May. While existing home sales did rebound just 0.8%, but that reversed 5 straight months of declines. Existing home sales have been hurt by low inventory, since most people are like, I'm not moving out of this house where I have a 3% mortgage and jump into a 7%+ mortgage. But the logjam, as we're going to get in Dad's opinion here in a few minutes, may loosen as the 30-year mortgage rates fell from nearly 8% at the end of October to 6.95% in November. And then we saw rates continuing to come down. I think this week we were dipping even lower than that. So new home sales did disappoint, falling 12.2%, though they came in 1.4% higher from November a year ago. So This week we have jobless claims here on this Thursday, but not a pretty light week when it comes to information as we round out 2023. So here we are, entering 2024. I did a podcast just last night that I'm sure will air probably early next week. But I did a Here We Are in 2024. Did you know that 2024 will mark the year where more people turned 65 than ever before in America? You shouldn't be surprised if you've been listening to me for 20 years, because I've only been talking about demographics, predictable spending patterns. We know that the peak of the baby boom generation was born 60 to 61, immigration adjusted. So it shouldn't be any surprise that this is the start of seeing 11,800 people a day in America turning 65. It's going to continue for the next few years before it starts to tip and go the other way. And also, I talk about the massive amounts of misinformation out there. That misinformation word, it kind of became popular right during the elections. Misinformation, I never used that term before the election arguments. But I found a report that said how many people, more and more people that are like my age or older, women and men, are getting advice, their financial advice, from TikTok. Crazy. So I go over a lot of that stuff. I talk about the IRA rulings of 2023, kind of a recap of the top IRA rulings, and then also what are the big things going into effect as part of Secure Act 2 in 2024. So look for that podcast. It should be out 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. And it's going to be a fun year, because 2024 being an election year, knowing that the tax code expires at the end of 2025, we should start seeing the old whack-a-mole game being played, where we're going to see ideas pop up, whack down, pop up, and the things that pop up the most typically stick. And I've been somewhat predicting what I've been hearing in the grass, that some of these lower tax rates might get extended out a little bit further. Maybe the standard deduction stays in place the way it has been, because it's kind of nice that only 12% of people in America have to itemize their returns any longer. Everyone does the standard deduction. So some of the good things they're going to maybe extend. And that's fine with me, because like I've been saying, when you have a book that says 2025, The Final Drive, and that's when it ends, it'd be nice to have 2025, The Final Drive, in overtime. And I'm looking forward to that. So that's why I love chaos. I love change in the tax code and investment world, estate planning, all that stuff, because it gives me a job and a purpose to be here. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, going to get Dad on the show with me. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, sometimes old jokes never get old. I was actually watching the Harvard faculty talk that I gave. Oh, yeah. I was back in like 15 or 16, believe it or not. So it's been a while ago. And I was talking about the first time I did radio. And this is in front of tons of strangers, right? I didn't know a single one of them. Thank God I didn't know any of them, because this is not going to be good. Anyway, it turned out fine. And I talked about Dad showing up to my first radio show, and it was live, and it was on retirement planning, and I'm nervous, very nervous. I have an outline. I prepared 6 or 7 hours. I planted some callers to call in, you know, because it was a call-in show, and who's going to call in your first show? So I had about six people planted to call. I even told them what to ask me, you know, like that's how far we've come. So I'm asking Dad, and I'm like, but Dad, I mean, I'm nervous. Why do I do this crazy stuff? And his answer was, you know, and like I've said, this joke never gets old.
I said.
You said what?
I have no idea, David. But I went on to say, but after a while, it'll be just like breathing. It'll be second nature to you.
Yeah, and it's not quite that good yet, but it's definitely gotten better, where I don't have to prepare quite as hard. I still do prepare. It takes about an hour and a half now to prepare an hour-long show. It used to take me a half a day, you know. Yeah. Scrapping up guests when I had to do that. Jimmy's helping me with that now. But last year, Dad, we talked about, you know, when do you know you're ready to retire? And we walked through, you know, your working life and, you know, the curveballs that were thrown at you at times. And we decided that, and I know this from being in practice nearly 30 years, that people just know when it's time. Now, sometimes there's discontinuous change. We had people cook this year, were laid off, and maybe they weren't quite ready to go. But when you have a choice, when you leave, you just kind of know, right? And this year was a year for you to start to maybe think about it a little bit, because you actually went to part-time this summer.
Yeah, as you know, I've worked pretty much my entire life, so it's just part of who I am. And I just couldn't sit around. You know, I'm not a person who can sit around, and you can only fish so much, and I don't play much golf. But so I decided to try 3 days a week and just kind of work into it and see how it goes, and it's worked out really well.
Because you're getting Monday and Friday off.
So right.
That's
long
nice.
Weekends. Nice,
yeah. I warned you when you started talking about this. I think we were in Canada maybe. You were talking about doing this, and I'm like, Dad, the worry I have, I see it all the time, is people go to 3 days a week, get paid, you know, two-thirds what they're getting paid, but still work as much as they worked before.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still out at all these BEDC. Are you still working as hard as you worked before and getting two-thirds your pay?
Well, yeah, in some respects, yes, but you know, it's worked out really well.
Good. So. Well, they're happy. They're happy, so everyone's
yeah,
happy.
Yeah, everyone's happy.
So when... I was going to ask you about these rates because obviously, you know, you started, you know, you were trying to do real estate back when interest rates were just double digits. And then you went into work at Workiemans as a associate or junior loan advisor or something.
Right, yeah.
Worked your way all the way up to senior VP, you know, left there for personal reasons. In fact, I brought the Kiplinger magazine from 2007 that you were in. Which means that this was the fall of 2007. So you were 59,
yep.
Getting ready to turn 60 that year. And it was an article that Mary Beth Franklin, by the way, I talked to Mary Beth this weekend. I told her you were going to be on. She told me to tell you hello. And she wrote an article about a late boomer's guide to retirement because you were making a pretty significant change then.
Yeah, I was.
At a series, I mean, you were at your peak earning years with Old National and. He was like, well, go to Evansville, and you were going to go, and you decided, no, I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay here and be closer to family, and, you know, the grandkids were all young then. I mean, if it was now, the grandkids are like 20-some years old. I mean, they don't want to be around us, so you probably would have hit the road.
They don't care where I am.
No.
So, yeah, except, you know, an old guy like me just wouldn't be able to do that anymore. But, yeah, from that perspective, yes.
Yeah, yeah, and that was neat. And Mary Beth, she remembers that fondly. So, interest rates. I mean, we went into a period of time where we went into a low interest rate environment. It was mastered by the Fed. I mean, they were the ones that were driving rates down. People jumped on them like a dog on a meat bone. They were able to buy a lot of house for less payment. And now here we sit with rates that were around 8. Now they're down below 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, people are going to have to get used to the fact that that's not normal. I mean, my first real loan was at 7.75, and I thought I got a steal at 7.75. And this was back in 1994, 1995.
Well, to answer your earlier question, I've been in banking 47 years.
Oh, that's close.
Yeah, you were real close. And in the early 80s, I was making a few, not many, but a few, one-year adjustable rate mortgages at 12%. And people were tickled to death to get them. And so we've, you know, things, they just ebb and flow, and they'll continue to do that. But I think rates will settle in. You know, if I knew where rates were going to go, I'd be sitting on the beach drinking a Mai Tai. But I'd say in the mid, I'm most predicting the mid to high fives by third quarter next year.
Yeah, well, typically the 10-year treasury is what usually prices mortgages.
Yeah.
And then you have a risk premium involved. So, right. You know, if you're about 2 points over the 10-year and the 10-year settles in at 3.5, that would put you around 5.5 at that point.
Yeah.
And that's if the economy is decent and people, the banking world isn't worried about people losing their jobs. If they're worried about that, then there's a risk premium in there, and it brings rates up to 6-ish or 6.25.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're experiencing now because the 10-year has gotten down into the 3s, but rates are still stubbornly high in the, you know, mid to upper 6s right now.
Yeah,
that's just because of all the uncertainty out there. But I would love it if that happened. I have a lot of commercial loans on my real estate that I own, and most of it's not 30-year fixed. It's fixed for 5 years, and then it rolls. So we did a bunch of stuff in 2020 and 2021. So I'm hoping 2025, 2026, and that's what the yield curve is telling us, that rates should dip down. So when we have to do the big reset, it won't be that bad, hopefully.
Yeah, several years ago when rates started, when they first fell in the lower range, I had some commercial clients that owned several pieces of commercial real estate, and we refinanced for them that when the rates dropped like that. And he told me, he made more money refinancing his mortgages that year than he did in his business. So
wow.
That tells you what rates can do. I looked at rates recently, and it looks like that rates, 1% change in rate equates to about a 10% change in purchasing power.
Yeah, yeah.
So if rates continue to drop another percent, I mean, and according to the Indiana Association of Realtors, prices dropped 8.8% from 2022 to 2023. So if prices continue to drop, rates drop, you're probably going to see a kind of a flurry of purchasing
of activity.
But yeah. Then rates are prices are going to start jumping up again. So it's kind of a balancing point. You got to kind of watch and see when you think rates are going to kind of get to the point where prices are going to start going up, because you want to lock those prices in. You can always refinance a mortgage, but you can't change what you paid for the price.
You paid for it, yeah.
So, you know, you got to buy when you got to – I think pretty soon you'll be in a really good buying position.
Well, you know, when we think about demographics, we years ago said, okay, here's what's going on. We have all these baby boomers, and they're buying these great big houses, and then when they're ready to downsize, there'll be no one there to buy them, and that happened. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, my generation started buying those bigger houses. But we were a smaller group of people than the millennials that are behind us. Well, the millennials, they are getting married. They are having children. They're not having tons of kids, but they are having kids. And they're buying houses. And they're doing what everybody else did, just a little bit later. So demographics are working for us in a fantastic way. One, tons of people having money in the market that's being invested every single day automatically through their paychecks. That's a supply and demand thing. It's going to cause prices to go up. You have the great transfer of wealth happening, where the baby boomers are now starting to inherit a lot of money from their folks. Then you have the millennials that are moving through their ages and stages of life. So I really think the next decade could be really good and on both sides of the equation. So that's encouraging thing. So let me get back to a question I had for you, Dad. I'm going to check my time here. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about some of the fun things that people need to prepare for when they do think about retiring. Because if you just all of a sudden go to 3 days a week and you don't really have any kind of plan of what you want to do in those off days, you're just going to fill up your time with a bunch of garbage, and you're going to say, well, I don't know how I had time to work 5 days a week. I barely have time, you know, when I'm working 3 days a week. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, let 2024 be the year you finally get your house in order. Call attorney Lance Lyke of the Lyke Law Group. Give yourself and your family that peace of mind, and it is peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Or elder care. I mean, he's probably one of the top, if not the top, elder care guy here in Bloomington. And that's whether you're in an emergency situation or you want to really plan to protect those assets in case of a stay in a nursing home. And he advertises here on the station, so you get to hear that all the time. And Kenny Bland Auctions. I don't know if they have an auction going on right now. Normally they take a break right after Christmas. But that shouldn't keep you from visiting KennyBlandAuctions.com. They are your full-service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or your real estate. Again, visit them online at KennyBlandAuctions.com. All right, Jerry Hayes is my guest, mi padre. And, Dad, you're 76, just turned 76, went to 3 days a week. And I think it's important for people to have some kind of a plan of what they're going to do with that extra time. Now, in the beginning, it might be, you know, do some things around the house you've wanted to do, didn't have time to do. But eventually that garage will be clean. Your garage is already clean. Mine's a mess. I did not get that gene from my dad. I have stuff stuffed in every drawer of our house. I get mad at myself. I've been that way since a teenager, though, right?
Yes, you have.
At least my car's cleaner than it used
to
be.
Your car's clean, yes, it is.
It's impressively clean, actually. But anyway, you're talking about time. So, you know, we just think about some of the stuff that you and I have done and still need to do. But, like, we might commit a week and go fishing in Canada, which has been fun the last few years.
It's been great, yeah.
We took some time and went to the Amazon in 2019 for fishing, which was incredible. I'm trying to talk him into Tanzania this year, but he's got vertigo today. It's a bad day to ask him to go. Yeah. But we still have time. It's not until next June for fishing and a safari. But those are just little blocks of time you take out of your schedule and you commit to doing something. But it's the everyday stuff that you hear, and you just said it off air, that you hear it all the time from friends and people that you know, don't know how I had time to work.
Yeah.
So how are you approaching that as a part-timer, and at some point you will be fully retired. At some point, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
At some point. I've always said as long as the bank feels like I'm adding value, that I'm healthy enough and I'm having fun, I want to continue to work because I like to work. I bought a fishing boat. I'm gonna try to do some fishing on my own. I like to fish, and so I'm gonna do some fishing. But what you said made me think about Vern Burns. Vern Burns was a teacher and a coach at Bloomington High School.
Mm-hmm.
Before there were two high schools, he was one of my coaches or teachers, and he was in the exchange club with me years later. And when he retired, I said, Vern, how do you like retirement? And he said, you know, I do. I like retirement. But all the years I worked, my wife would say, Vern, would you do this? Or Vern, would you do that? And he'd say, well, honey, I'll do that when I retire. And he said, you know, she kept a list of all that stuff. So that's all he was getting done. But, yeah, you got to keep your time occupied for sure, because you don't want to just let life happen to you. You want to.
Yeah, and we've had Jerry Settler on recently, the Don't Retire, Rewire, and it's not that book's not for everybody, but it gets you thinking about how am I going to rewire, because like you said, you can't fish every day.
Nope.
And how do you get those same feelings of pride or accomplishment outside of working, and why do you work beyond the paycheck? That's always the question you have to ask. So why do I work beyond the paycheck? If it's only the paycheck, then you probably should do something else or retire.
Right.
But it's like, well, I don't know. I feel value. I feel like I'm making a difference, you know, whatever it might be. And those are important things. And then, by the way, I get paid to do it, too. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. What do you see? I mean, you've fired back up your real estate again. You still can do reverse mortgages, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, what you said about people turning 65, that's good news for me.
It's great news, right?
Yeah, as a reverse mortgage space.
They have a lot of equity built up in homes, and not all of them have prepared adequately for retirement saving.
Yeah.
We know no one has pensions any longer for the most part. You have Social Security, you have your own money, and you have the equity in your home.
Yeah.
Take a minute and just talk about that, because those have come a long way, and they even quit calling them reverses. I think they call them equity conversion loans or something.
Same thing.
It's just a different twist on it name-wise.
Yeah. Reverse mortgage has gotten such a bad rap over the years that you use that term just immediately turns people off sometimes until they learn more about them. You know, I'll talk to people about reverse mortgage, and they'll say, oh, no, I don't want to do that. And I said, well, can I ask why? And we really get into it. We find out it might be a good opportunity for them, good option for them.
Well, they think things like, well, the bank owns my house, or when I die, my kids get nothing. And that may be true, may not be true. But from a planning perspective, you know, it's becoming more prevalent for people in our industry to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even compliance people are saying, okay, we don't want you to do this, which is have them do a reverse mortgage and then take the money and go do something stupid with it. But if they're using it as a tax-free way to access the equity in their home as part of their investment, you know, portfolio,
it's something
that can be should be considered. So, yeah, demographics are working right in your favor. So you're going to be really busy maybe for the next 20 years doing
Well, I remember one time I met with a client in your office about a reverse mortgage, and a lady was the client, and she had her son with her, and we were talking about reverse mortgage, and I remember her saying, you know, I really want to leave my house to my son, and you said to the son, when your mom's gone, would you rather have her house or would you rather have her money? Because if she takes money out of her equity and leaves her investments alone, then her heirs are going to have more money in her investments.
And he was the only child, too.
Yes.
Yeah, he was the only child.
Yeah, so
I forgot about that.
You know, I've used that.
When she's since passed away, and the house was sold, there was some equity remaining in the home, and he received that, and he also received, inherited a pretty nice IRA in the meantime. So, it worked out well.
Yeah, it's a great way to, it should be part of an overall financial plan, I believe.
So tell me about, you know, you've always had your real estate license, a broker's license. You started with Tim Ellis years and years ago.
I'm actually a realtor emeritus with the National Association of Realtors. I've been in so long. I've been a real estate, been 50 years now since I've started real estate.
Because you've kind of fired it up and shut it down off and on throughout the years. But, mean, we're firing it back up again, right? Because we're looking at some lots and maybe building some houses some different things like that. And
trying to get Will involved.
Stay on him. Yeah,
trying to get some of my...
I think he thought he was on winter break, I think, this last 2 weeks. what he was doing, the guy...
Break from what?
He was doing decks, and he was actually doing... He loved it. He's out building things and... With a guy that the client of mine actually, and he, I'm like, dude, I'm telling you right now, they don't stay here in the wintertime. You know, they're smart, they get out, and you better have something lined up. And you know, of course, he's just turned 23, so he can't see past tomorrow. So anyway, stay on him. But yeah, get stay on him. But go ahead.
Yeah, I figure when I retire completely, I'll probably do some reverse mortgages and maybe a little bit of real estate. And I've enjoyed out of all the things I've done. I think I've enjoyed real estate the most. It's really fun to help people buy their first home, especially, and see the excitement and be a part of that, and financing it. As over the years, as I've gotten to do that with first time home buyers, that's been a lot of fun.
We're gonna take another break when we come back. The last two shows, I've talked about some, who's the happiest in retirement, or in past shows, I've talked about who's the happiest people in retirement. So I'm going to get my dad's take on that as well. I had something else I wanted to talk about. I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. Leaving a name that means something, that stands for something. You know, we, if you haven't picked up, the Hayes family, we are, I don't want to say cult-like, but we almost are. almost cult-like. But we're very proud people and very proud to be a Hayes. Not that I'm not proud to be an Atwood, a Headley, a Deckard, all the other bloodlines I have in me. But really proud to be a Hayes, because I think being here now, we're now going on six generations of Hayeses.
Yes.
Just leave a name that stands for something. And that was something I talked about in a men's group breakfast the other day on what does that mean? And I don't want to talk about that just a little bit and get Dad's opinion on who are the happiest people that he knows in retirement. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. I'm going to save the leaving the name that stands for something for our second to last segment, but I do want to talk about the people that I see who are the happiest in retirement. And again, this is 29 years of countless client meetings, public speaking events, doing radio, whatever it might be, hanging around having a pizza with people that are retired. And here's what I find. The happiest people, number one, they have faith. If you are living your life and you don't think there's anything beyond what we see today, then you're miserable. Number two, friends. People they get to hang out with, they get to go fishing with, they get to go to dinner with, they get to go to ball games with, whatever it might be. Family. Good family relationships. How many people do you know that have splintered families? I see it every day. People have family. And then lastly, those that have a predictable income stream in retirement. So it's faith, family, friends, and a fixed income stream. Dad, those are the people that I find that are the absolute giddy, happy, almost freaky happy people that have those four aspects in their life. You're around a lot of retired people, right? Tell me your opinion of my assessment of the happiest people in retirement.
I think you're right on. All those things are important, I think, in a happy retirement. There's such a thing as living too long, too, because I remember at our small group, we studied aging and getting retirement and stuff like that. We were studying a book about... just people getting older, and we had a lady in our church that was 101 years old, and she came to our meeting, and she said she was in good shape. She got up every day and did something. She said, I think that's important, is you have something to do each day. But she said, it's like I've been transported to a different planet, because my husband is gone, all my friends are gone. I have no friends left at all. Some of my children are gone, and she said, it's just like, I don't know I'm on a different, like I'm on a different planet. So all those things you mentioned, friendships, faith, all those things are so important.
It's just I mean, it's something I came up with years ago, and I know we've heard faith, family, and then football. That used to be an old term with the NFL, but I find it just true with life in general. Now, most people have Social Security, so that's, in some cases, their only fixed income stream.
Yes.
But that would represent maybe 30 to 40% of their income, probably more like 30. Then most people have no pensions, so you have to say, well, if I want more fixed income, what do I need to do? Well, you have to buy an insurance product that gives you a guaranteed income that, you know, you can't outlive to shore up maybe two-thirds of your income. And I actually had a client who was an insurance person and an investment guy. And that, hey, so it's a funny story because he actually had a lot of money. And he called me because someone said, well, you've only been dealing, and don't take offense to this, anybody, please, but he only dealt with school teachers, and he lived out of state. And he calls me and says, David, he goes, I need some help. He said, I've never worked with anybody that had real money like I do, so I need some help. So one of the things that he wanted to do was have a good, predictable income stream, and he understood annuities and all that, but he has Social Security, and we decided to go with a variety of annuities. He actually called into the radio show and explained how happy he was because of how much income he had, that he didn't have to worry about the stock market every day. You did that, right?
Right.
You turned an annuity stream on. I mean, how does that make you feel to have Social Security? Now, you still work, but you have Social Security, another reliable income stream, predictable.
Yeah. Something else you don't have to worry about. When I talk to people about reverse mortgages, I say this, that, you know, as you age, you have a lot of things to worry about. You have your health, things like that, but you shouldn't have to worry about money, and because that's part of the puzzle.
Right.
I mean, if you worry about how you're gonna put food on the table every week, or how you're gonna turn the heat on, or how you're gonna buy your prescription drugs. I mean, that's not good.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's not.
Which not brings
it's
some worry, stability.
It worries you. It worries you, and that's not healthy.
It's not healthy. No, it's not healthy.
I talked about this at, I believe, Will's senior night, and you might remember this, but I talked about, you know, time and how fast time goes and how precious time is. And I talked about, you know, if you get sick, you can get healthy again. If you lose money, you can make more money. But once time's gone, you can't get it back.
Right.
And I know how fast time goes. I mean, it is incredibly fast. I mean, you'd feel like just yesterday Will was a senior in high school. That was in 2019.
Yes, I know.
Here we are in 2023 going into 2024. I mean, I feel like you just were in Kiplinger magazine.
I know.
And that was when you were 59 going on 60, and now you're 76.
Yep.
Tell me, you and I have talked about this, but people say the older you get, the faster time goes. Steve Martin said it best on a Jay Leno show. I think he said life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes.
Yep.
Is it perspective? What is it that you think that makes time go so stinking fast?
I don't know. I think when you're busy and you're working and you have appointments and things like that, it seems like, and you're always looking forward to think, well, I got to file my taxes now, I got to do this now, I got to do that now. That makes time go fast. But when you retire, I think I'm not really sure what it is, David.
Yeah.
Is it just? But it, you just blink and you're in time, and a week's gone, and you blink and a month's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing how fast time goes.
You start talking about, you know, something you're going to maybe going to Florida, because I mean, you guys are going to, I'm hoping to go back to Sarasota again this year.
I hope so sometime.
You know, but we have a trip planned at the middle of January for our office. So several of us going on a cruise, and it's like we have to pack next Friday. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
what would happen?
Here. Yeah, I know. Christmas was like that for me this year.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I felt like, wow, it's like just next week.
I didn't even get my Christmas lights up outside this year. It crept up on me so fast. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, let's talk about what legacy means and leaving a name that stands for something. I want to share a couple stories with you about that. This is Your Money with David Hayes. You know, Dad, you have, I think, a picture in your office in your house that says, you know, when you're gone, it doesn't matter how big your bank account is and all that, but it matters what kind of legacy or memories you leave for your family. I don't remember exactly what it says.
You may not be talking about this, but I have a poem that I saw several years ago. I love it. I mean, I just love it. And it says, you can use most any measure when you're speaking of success. You can measure it in a fancy home, expensive car, or dress. But the measure of your real success is one that you can't spend. It's the way your child describes you when speaking to a friend. And I think that's what it's all about. You know, your family, your kids, your spouse, they know you in good times and bad times. And whatever they think of you is probably accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's why I think, you know, we talk about leaving a name that stands for something. I have to reflect back on Pap, on your grandpa.
Yeah.
That, you know, he started that Hayes Market in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right at the, you know, beginning of World War II. I mean, you know, he was young. He was like 20-some years old. Didn't move downtown that early on.
No.
But technically, it started in 41. He started out on Fluck Mill Road, I hear, at the stone quarries. I'm not sure his store then. Probably Smithville is probably when he officially became a store. But anyway, I mean, when the store closed and we were up there helping clean out the upstairs attic in 96, I believe it was, you know, there was boxes of unpaid invoices, you know, that were just forgiven.
Yep.
And to hear the stories about him and the laughter and the kindness and, you know, and as I got older, I'm like, you know, what do I want to be remembered for, you know? And obviously having Pap and having you and you know, and I'm 50, gonna be 54. I mean, you know, you've got to. So what do you want to be remembered for? And I think for him, and I said this at the Miracle Maker event, if you remember, that he left a legacy of goodness, kindness, and generosity, in my opinion. And I just thought, you know what? That's what I want to do too. That's what you've done. And we're not done yet. Hopefully we're not done yet. But I remember talking about his legacy. And if you don't know this, you know, he started the 4-H auction. Part of the people started the 4-H auction at Monroe County Fair. And every year he would buy the Grand Champion steer. I think he had it processed and sold in the store, but he was a big supporter of that. And, you know, 25 years ago, maybe a little longer, I decided to start going there and buying an animal in his memory. So I wasn't able to buy the Grand Champion steer, but I'd buy some cows, I'd buy pigs, you know, but anytime I would just say, hey, you know, I'm buying it in the memory of David Hayes, buying it in the memory of his great-grandfather, Jim Hayes, the founder of Hayes Market. And people would they'd clap and they'd slap me on the back and tell me how great it was and tell me stories. And Haney was the auctioneer. Haley. Bruce was the auctioneer. Well, all this time goes by. Well, Bruce Haley passed away that year, and I'm at the fair, and it was late on a Thursday night, and I buy an animal, and I buy it David Hayes in the memory of great granddad, founder of Hayes Market, Jim Hayes. And used to be that Bruce would tell stories because he worked for Pap. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, I remember going to Indianapolis, and that truck had the big wood on the side to get fruit, and he would grind them. He'd always say, if you can't find it, grind it, you know, and pop in that clutch. He said, he just tells story after story. Well, there's no more stories because Bruce was not there. His brother was there, but we didn't have that same feel. Not, you know, just crickets, kind of, honestly. He's like, well, okay, let's move on to the next animal. So I'm driving home that night, and I'm like, okay, man, this has been a pretty good run. I think I'm done. Because, I mean, no one even remembered. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. And that next morning, I'm driving, you know, I'm in the shower actually thinking about this and thought, you know, if I'm doing it for the right reason, this is exactly why I need to keep doing it. Because if I'm doing it for me to get the feeling of satisfaction, slaps on the back, and make me feel good, then I'm doing it for the wrong reason. I said, I need to do it to carry his legacy on forever. So I'm actually starting a donor-advised fund next year that's going to produce enough money every year for somebody to go to that fair and sit their butt down, whether it's not awesome. Me, it's going to be my Will, whoever it's going to be. Austin's done it for me before, and they're going to buy an animal in the memory of Jim Hayes, the founder of Hayes Market, and whatever relation you are to him, or it's not about me, it's about him, to carry that legacy on until no one remembers there even was a Hayes Market.
Right.
And if that continues on and on and on and on, I want people to say, what are you talking about? What was Hayes Market?
Yeah, we're starting to hear that.
We're starting to hear it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about that, Poops?
That's awesome. I think that's just perfect because you're right. It's when people start, newer people are born and they don't know anything about it.
They have no idea.
That's the time to really say, you know, say, tell a story.
Most of the stories are, oh, when I was a kid, my grandma used to take me there, you know, and I used to get the pickled bologna or a big, or, you know, whatever. And, of course, ham salad's been famous. But Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to leave a name that stands for something, he did it.
Yeah,
and
he did.
But it needs someone to continue to remind people of who this person was that was so kind, so loving, so generous, you know. And yeah. If you can create a life in that image, and of course that is the image of Christ as well.
Yes.
That you're gonna have a heck of a happy life.
Yeah. Danny Todd worked for him for several years, and Danny he's retired now too. Worked at IMI most recently, but he told me that Pap just he gave money away all the time to people who couldn't afford give groceries to people who couldn't afford it. He said that they saw just tons of IOUs from people that he never collected.
Yeah.
And he would not go after those folks.
No.
I mean, if they came and paid him, he'd take it probably, but
yeah,
he would not ever try to collect it.
Well, that's good stuff. All right, let's take a break. Come back and wrap it up at Your Money with David Hayes. Well, we just talked about it. Time flies when you're having fun, and it comes to the end of the show. And, Dad, it's hard to believe it was a year ago you were here talking about when it's time to retire.
Yeah.
And you went to part-time. So who knows what next year will bring when we're back here live on the studio, God willing, that we're both here. That would be awesome to hear how your year unfolded. So I hope everyone has a very, very happy New Year, safe New Year. And look forward to 2024. You know, it's going to be a fun year, a lot of stuff going on, and I'm going to be right here with you and giving you all the stuff you need to know and be aware of throughout the year. I think I'll be starting my 23rd year on the radio, which, again, is hard to believe. I started when I was 33, and I'll be 54. So there's 22 years. I think 33. Nonetheless, I'll be back. I promise you that. So Happy New Year, everyone. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, Happy New Year, David.
All right, we'll be back next week in the studio on the other side. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.